A little bit warmer, where our next guest is. Karen Middleton is based in Canberra. She's political editor of The Guardian Australia. Morning, Karen.
Morning, Catherine. Only just a little bit warmer, you know. We're whinging about the cold descending here.
Well, your Prime Minister's taken on Elon Musk, and look, a lot of emotion around this. Many people get frustrated with some of these tech titans when they impose on what we consider to be domestic interests. How's the scrap playing out?
Well, yes, you're right. And the emotion around this in particular is that this is because of this flashpoint between the Australian government and Elon Musk, and the X platform has arisen because of those terrible stabbing incidents that we saw in Sydney so close together a week or so ago, one in the Westfield Mall at Bondi Junction and one at the Christ the Good Shepherd Church, a Syrian Orthodox church in the suburb of Wakeley in the west of Sydney. And that latter one is really, in particular, driving this conflict, because there are videos of that attack being shared, or that, you know, there's an alleged attacker who's in custody and has been charged over that event. But that has been shared on the X platform. The Australian government, via the eSafety Commissioner, asked for the platform to remove that, and Elon Musk refused. And so now they're in court. The eSafety Commissioner went to the federal court here late on Monday night and sought an injunction ahead of a hearing. And that injunction was granted for 2 days, but Musk is continuing to refuse on the grounds of free speech to remove the violent videos. And we've seen the Prime Minister, as you say, amping up his rhetoric. He is calling Elon Musk an arrogant billionaire who thinks he's above the law. So we're really seeing this sort of really explode, I guess, and the government seems determined to try and use this example where it feels that it has a lot of public support to try and put the thumbscrews on some of these tech platforms that really sometimes act as a law unto themselves, and allowing all kinds of material to be disseminated. So it's a showdown back in court today, but we're certainly seeing the rhetoric flying back and forth, and Elon Musk equally gives no indication that he's about to back down.
Well, the problem is jurisdictions, isn't it? And no matter what the court says, does anyone expect something will happen?
Indeed, these giant platforms are cross-jurisdictional. We know they go around the world, and Australia is attempting to apply Australian law. Previous Australian governments have done this with limited success. This one seems determined to at least try and have the fight. We've seen other politicians come in behind the government. In fact, the opposition leader agrees with the Prime Minister, although some in his own party have been saying they are more on the side of free speech in inverted commas, and so there's a bit of a row brewing within the coalition on that. And the independent Jackie Lambie has urged her colleagues to get off the platform, and in fact has got off the platform herself in the last 24 hours. So there are attempts, but it is also being described a bit as whack-a-mole when you try and attack or pull down disturbing content in one place, just pops up in another, and without the platforms making a decision to cooperate and monitor and police this, it seems it's a very difficult thing to achieve.
Your Prime Minister is in Papua New Guinea at the moment, and the purpose of the visit is?
Well, it's unusual, Catherine. He's on a two-day trek on the walk on the Kokoda track. So to see a sitting Prime Minister do that, take out what's effectively 4 days, really, to walk the Kokoda track with his Papua New Guinea counterpart, James Marape, it's pretty unusual. But it's an exercise in soft diplomacy. Now, we both know that Anzac Day is coming up tomorrow, commemorated on both sides of the Tasman here, and also noted in Papua New Guinea because of the role that particular part of Papua New Guinea played in the Second World War. And that's what the Prime Minister ostensibly is commemorating, but it's also an exercise in diplomacy in getting the two countries closer together. And he has been putting a lot of energy into that since he became Prime Minister. And that in the end is because China has been around the region and really trying to win friends and influence countries in the neighbourhood. And the Prime Minister is seeking to draw Australia and PNG closer together in the hope that it will remain the number one security partner for Papua New Guinea and not China. So there are a number of agendas at play here, and commemoration is really only one of them.
All right. And the Lehman trial issues and the costs attached to this, the story just rolls on and on. What's the latest on it?
Well, now we're talking money, Catherine. We saw that federal court decision that you and I have spoken about, where the federal court judge, on the balance of probabilities, which is the lower civil test, found that Bruce Lehrman, the former ministerial staffer, did in fact rape Brittany Higgins, who was his then colleague, 5 years ago. And now, and that was in a defamation case that he had brought against Network 10 here, a commercial network that ran the first television interview with Brittany Higgins in 2021 when she spoke about these alleged incidents as they were at the time. And he lost that case, Bruce Lehrman. In fact, the judge, who has a particular turn of phrase, said the fact that Lehrman had been tried in a criminal court and then the trial collapsed due to juror misconduct and then was never restarted out of concern for Brittany Higgins' mental health. The judge said that he had, having escaped the lion's den, Mr. Lehrman made the mistake of going back for his hat. Well, having gone back for his hat, so to speak, now he faces the prospect of costs, and Network 10 is talking something around $8 million for its costs and for the costs of journalist Lisa Wilkinson, who did that interview that was the subject of this defamation case. Now, Lehrman, we're not sure whether he's a man of any means much at all. He doesn't have a job, as we understand. He's been kicked out of the accommodation he'd been staying in. He had some accommodation subsidised by another television network. That deal has ended. We're not sure where the money might come from, but Network 10 is insisting that the exercise that he engaged in means that he needs to pay. They said he brought the case on a deliberately wicked and calculated basis. So as you say, Catherine, it goes on, and now we're at the pointy end where the money is being discussed.
The judge's commentary in that decision is just quite remarkable, isn't it?
And it certainly is. That wasn't the only colourful turn of phrase. No, in a 324-page judgment, there was a lot. But, you know, it does capture people's attention. It does explain the law to people in a way that they can understand. And he certainly had a big viewing audience.
Now, I imagine there's a right to do on social media and everywhere else over the actions of Aj Barker at his comedy show. Yes. How is this all breaking?
Yeah, this is one of these water cooler things, you know, when everybody's talking about it. Aj Barker, the US comedian now based in Australia, was giving a performance on Saturday night in Melbourne as part of the Melbourne Comedy Festival. There was a woman in the audience with her baby daughter, and the daughter was making, gurgling or murmuring noises. The woman says, her name's Trish Ferrander, says she was seeking to breastfeed the baby. But Aj Barker took issue with this and kicked her out, basically, stopped his show and asked her to go. The show did have a restriction of 15 years and over for the audience, and he's pointing to that and saying it wasn't unreasonable, that the baby was very distracting, that the mother and baby were down near the front and that he was having trouble performing his set and he was thinking of the rest of the audience. But you can imagine there are many, many views about this, many people defending the actions of the woman, who says she felt humiliated and that she just wanted a night out and she was sitting at the end of the row near the door ready to go if the baby got too disruptive. So I guess it's a definitional question of what is too disruptive, but there are views on all sides in favour of both the decision of Aj Barker and the upset of the woman. One of those things everybody likes to talk about, Catherine.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Karen. Your time's always appreciated. That is Karen Middleton. She is Guardian Australia editor. She's based in Canberra.